Thanks for tuning in today, and welcome to today's podcast. Your host is Joe Love, a spiritual teacher, sixth sensory guide, and author. Let's get started.
I want to start out tonight with the quote from Charles Dickens. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. It was a season of light, it was a season of darkness. It was the age of belief, it was the age of incredulously. It was the spring of hope, it was the winter of despair. We had everything before us and had nothing before us. We were headed straight to heaven, and we were all headed straight in the other direction. Even though that was written 170 years ago, couldn't have been written today. We all know people that are experiencing the best of times and the worst of times simultaneously. Every day in society that we live in today, there's millions and millions of people out there. They're going to be having the best of times. They're going to be having happy families, loving relationships, vibrant health, creative world, prosperity and fulfillment in their lives. But at that same time, there's also going to be millions of people that are going to be experiencing the worst of times. Painful relationships, worn out bodies, poor health, financial struggles, unfulfilling jobs. How is it that there's so many people experiencing the best of times in our world and also the worst of times? The reason is those times are within inside of us. Our life, it's a reflection, it's a mirror of our beliefs. The judgments and the thoughts that we hold inside of us, that's what it is. Our intention should be to always have the best of times. We want to tap into that positive energy flow of the universe that's always there for us to tap into. So if we want to create peace, fulfillment in the life we really want, there's no reason at all why anyone in the world cannot manifest that. We can't create or manifest what we want if we're filled with hate, anger, resentment, bitterness. It just emotionally, it eats us alive. It eats away our creativity, eats away our love, joy, our kindness, quality of our life. And sometimes it's very gradual. We have the power to change that at any time and make a fresh start. Ivy Baker, who was the Secretary of the Treasury under President Eisenhower, I love this quote that she'd made: "The world is round, and peace may seem like the end, but it may also be the beginning." And that is so true. Let's take a painful situation that we've had and let's see it in a new light. Let's start with a new beginning. Move beyond the old bitterness, because what we're living in is a present. Don't want to live in the past, not the future. The only time we have is the present, right now. Our personal power that the universe gives us just gets shortchanged by the old baggage that we carry around. I'm going to give you a visual. Imagine that you have this mirror. Say it's 2 feet by 4 feet. It's a beautiful mirror, maybe with gold flowering, and just a gorgeous mirror. Inside that mirror is your life. It's your relationships, your career, your finances, your health. Every facet of your life is in this mirror. Why do I use this example? Because our life is a mere reflection of our beliefs and the thoughts and the concepts that we hold inside ourselves. That's what the mirror represents. And so you look at the mirror, if you see important things missing, then something inside of you is blocking it. And that goes for every human being on this earth. It's not a judgment, it's not a criticism, it's a fact. And if we're going to change our life, we have to first change our inner state and leave the past behind. There's an old saying: if you want to experience something in the world, you have to be coming from that place. And we have to first create that peace inside of us. That manifests outwardly and makes the difference. It takes a lot of courage to forgive, to reclaim your life. You have to connect with your spirit to get rid of the blocks to do that. And when we hate or resent, we're totally cut off from the source, and we can't manifest then what we want. There's a common saying: no pain, no gain. Most people believe that you can't grow, you can't create happiness, you can't have peace without going through years of pain to get there. And if you believe that, that's what it's going to take to manifest those things, if that's what you believe. There's another saying, maybe some of you have heard of him, Barry Neil Kaufman. He says a saying that's much better: no pain, all gain. That sounds better. Emotional pain comes from the negative judgments that we have. And the only reason that we're going to be unhappy, and believe me, I've had many, many unhappy days throughout my life, it's because we make the negative judgments of other people and of ourselves. We have to let those go. We don't feel good about ourselves. We don't feel happy. We feel bad, distressed. Yet it takes no pain to let go of those negative judgments. and receive all the benefits of it, to release and let go of all the blocks. It's an easy thing to do, but it's not a simple thing to do. The reason being is we're all creatures of habit. You know, we get into a certain way of living, and it's really difficult to break those. When we're happy and peaceful, we can connect with our spirit. We can meditate, get the answers we want, connect with our spirit guides. It makes us powerful. I'm going to give you another visual. Imagine you're walking through this beautiful, beautiful field of flowers. As you're looking farther down the field, you see this patch without flowers, and it sort of has a glow to it. It's a treasure chest. And this treasure chest is filled with gift certificates from the universe. The gift certificates are for anything that you would want, such as, I want an abundant life. I want happiness. I want peace. I want to have a loving romantic relationship. I want a happy family. I want to have excellent health. All you had to do is go to the chest, pick whatever gift certificate that you want out of the chest, present it to the universe. The universe is going to cash that in for you, and you're going to get that experience. But surrounding that chest are obstacles. There's quicksand. The more you struggle, the deeper you go. Where there's not quicksand, there's 40-foot high piles of rocks that you would have to climb over to get to that treasure chest. It's very risky, very painful to get to this chest. And I use this example because how many of us live our lives like that? As a result of our judgments, we create the stress, the unhappiness, difficulty. It makes us impossible to focus on what we want to manifest, what we want out of life. We push happiness away. We push peace away. We're doing that constantly. Going back to the example of the treasure chest, suppose that you remove the quicksand in the rock piles and just walk right up to that treasure chest and pick what you want. And guess what? We all can do that. Could do that by getting rid of the blocks and connecting with spirit. You see the quicksand and the rocks in the example that I just gave? Those are all the negative judgments that we hold about other people and ourselves. Again, I use an example carrying that 100-pound weight around. It tires you out, and that's why we get so stressed after a day. We have a choice in how we're going to live our lives. Not forgiving yourself or another person, it's very costly. It's the single most expensive action that we can do on earth. All the emotions that we've held against ourselves or maybe somebody else, it's in every cell of our body. It causes tremendous damage until we release it. I think I've pulled out some really nice case studies to show that tonight. The first question I want you to think about is the person who unleashes well-deserved. And I say well-deserved because if they've hurt you really bad, so the person unleashes well-deserved hate towards another person. What happens? The person who hates can die of a heart attack, while the person who's being hated can go on to live a long and healthy life. Another question is, who loses if you hold bitterness towards another person? Even if you've buried it, you hold that bitterness towards another person, the person who's bitter can develop cancer, heart disease, a major illness, while the person who you're bitter towards, they can be in the Bahamas having a wonderful time enjoying life. So it's to our benefit to drop the negative judgments and feelings towards others. Barry Neil Kaufman, who did research on happy people, found two main characteristics in people that were just totally happy, loving themselves, loving other people. The first is that those people, they had no judgments. They didn't judge anyone. The second is they were grateful for themselves and every person they met. That's so telling to me. That's so interesting. Criticism is so tremendously destructive to families, for children, to spouses. To me, there's nothing more valuable. So that's something you really want to watch in families. And I do see that a lot. I want to give you a case study of a client of mine, Jason. He had a problem with lifelong resentment, anger, sarcasm. His father was an alcoholic who died while he was in high school. And after college, Jason went on to the University of Pennsylvania to get his MBA. In his first year, he had a professor. He didn't like his professor. He felt that the professor was always criticizing him, just unfairly giving him work that he didn't give to other students. He held a lot of resentment towards his professor. He just resented it too, because as he went in year after year, he had this same professor in his curriculum. And so he couldn't get away from his professor. He resented that even more. He wanted to do his thing, things his way, and he couldn't. He called that professor names that I'm not even going to repeat to you. The resentment and anger really held him back. And in his final final year, he had set up to get an internship with a Fortune 500 company. What happened was because of his bitterness and resentment, he was turned down for the internship. He didn't get it. That caused more resentment. He took that resentment and he buried it for years and years and years, taking out mostly on that professor. A couple years later, he came back to the University of Pennsylvania. He heard some students coming out of the professor's class calling the professor the same names that he had called him in years gone by, but they mentioned Jason's name. So the names he called the professor stuck with other students who came in. That's how vitriol he was with his professor. That same year, the professor went on to win numerous awards for his business and economics. He had articles that were published in business and economics magazines. You know, after he graduated, he couldn't keep a job that lasted more than, say, 3 or 4 months, and he would get fired. He lost the job. He finally realized that this negative energy he had was holding him back. He came to me, and I did a reading for him. We had some counseling sessions. I had him write forgiveness sentences about specific behaviors. The first on his list was the professor. And he later admitted to me and others that it was his anger towards his professor that was the number one reason why he couldn't get a new job. It's not about talent. It's a consciousness issue. There are thousands, probably millions of people that are unemployed that are so talented, but they can't get work because it's a level of consciousness that holds them back. After he'd worked on forgiveness for about a year, he still had resentment towards that professor. He let a lot of things go, but he couldn't let the professor go. So he decided he was going to write the professor a letter. So he wrote him a really heartfelt letter admitting that he had squandered a great opportunity to learn from him. As talented as this professor was, he blew it. He had an opportunity. He apologized for all the names that he'd called the professor and acknowledged, congratulated him for all the awards he had won and forgave him and moved on and just let it go. Now, this is interesting. A couple months later, he gets a letter, you know, from the university. He opens it up, and it was a handwritten letter from this professor. Not an email, a handwritten 3-page letter. He forgave him completely. He gave him words of encouragement, acknowledging all of Jason's potential as a student and what he could bring to companies and corporations. I saw it. It was incredibly gracious from this professor. Jason said that changed his life, getting back that letter. He felt at peace for the first time in his life, really. He practices forgiveness every day, writes letters, just sentences, just forgives. And he's now executive vice president for an international marketing company in New York, happily married. He could never hold down a relationship as 2 children. And he also, during this time, forgave his father. It was just an amazing turnaround, so turned his life around. He reached out first. Life is just not going to work until we're at peace, and we're going to continue to suffer in our bodies. We're going to ruin our relationships, miss the glory of life, which is why we're here, until we're at peace. It's a question, do we want our life to work the way that it was intended when we incarnated into this world? I want to give you another case study. A client of mine named Shelby. She had just graduated from college. She and her college boyfriend had lived together for 4 years. They met when she was a freshman. They planned on getting married. They were in love. The chemistry between them was great. They were inseparable. They did everything together. She had just gotten a job as an event planner. One evening, one of her events got canceled. So she went home early, and she found him with another girl. She got hysterical. She ran out, and he left her to be with this other woman. When she told her mother what had happened, her mother started crying and broke down in tears, and she told her something Shelby had never known before. Shelby's father had an affair on her mother for many, many years. This just blew it up completely for her. She developed hatred for men completely. She shut down her heart. She shut out all intimacy with men. Men were dirt to her. So what she would do is she would date men just to exploit them, just to get back to them, any man. That's how much hatred she had in her heart. She ended up pregnant, a single mother. She couldn't hold down a job, and she ended up on welfare. At that point, as a referral from a client I was working with, she contacted me. We began some sessions. The first time we met, I could immediately tell after the first reading that she had to clean up her past to be able to move on. I got her to write a letter with specific feelings for everyone that had ever harmed her, to just get those feelings out. She started, of course, with her fiancé that had cheated on her and hurt her so badly. Then she moved on to her father, you know, he had deceased, but from what her mother had told her, and about 20 other men that she had resented in her life. She wrote letters, and what she did was she burned them. You know, there's no reason to send a letter because that just causes more problems or criticism because it's with us in here. It's not with them. After working on forgiveness daily for several years, she felt better. She got a job as an event planner, catering, which was her love. At one of the events that she catered, she saw her former fiancé. He was at the event. Before, you know, she was deciding on how to react to him, what she should say. She didn't have to do a thing. He came up to her and he apologized and asked for her forgiveness for what he had done. But see, she didn't have to do that because she had already forgiven him. She had already let that go. She didn't have to. Later on in the year, she did meet the man of her dreams at another event. They got married, have three children now, and she now owns a very successful catering business in the Philadelphia area. She constantly works on forgiveness daily. She's committed to spiritual growth. That's what it takes. You have to do it for yourself. It's too expensive to hold. People do the best they can at the moment of consciousness. The same with us. When you say, I should have done this or I should have done that, take that out of your vocabulary because you did the best you could at that moment, the best that you know how to do. Don't say, I should have done this or I should have done that. Again, life is just not going to work until we're at peace. You know, forgiveness means closure. Forgiveness means new beginnings, a fresh start. That's what it means. It's so sad when I see so much good that the universe has given us, so much our spirit wants to help us with and guide us with to really live a spirit-guided life, and yet so many people in the world have so little of it. You wonder why. All the abundance in the world, and yet the gap between the rich and the poor seems to grow every year. You hear on the news, both political parties want to solve it. The middle class, this and that, we're going to stop this and we're going to do that. Well, guess what? They're never going to solve it. It can't be solved by government. It can't, because it's a consciousness problem. People have to get in. And once we get that to enough people to raise the level of consciousness, get rid of the blocks, that's what I'm hoping for each and every one of us to come to these meetups through our own experiences, to have a leadership to be able to bring this to other people, because that's how we're going to make a difference that ripples out in the world. I don't care what the politicians and the news says, we are making a difference. It is slowly but surely happening. Because there's so many loving people in the world. There's so many people, then again, there's so many people not experiencing love, and so many people that are lonely in the world. And that's because if you want to have something, you have to create it inside of you. You have to be coming from that place. For example, if you want money, most people want more money, they want more financial abundance. Well, you have to have an abundance consciousness to be able to create that. It has to be inside of you first. If we want to have loving relationships, it has to come from us first, from inside. This was interesting. I wish I'd have brought it with me. Several years ago, I went to a Hay House event. They were giving out gifts to all the attendees. And it was just this nice little plain box. On the cover, it said, on the box, it said, inside is the answer to all your problems. And so you open up the box, there was a mirror inside. It was perfect. That is so true. I want to give you another case study. I went in California to see her. There was a man speaking. His name was Jim. He described how he had met the woman of his dreams. She was the most beautiful woman in the world, the love of your life. Meets her, they get married. They lived in Cincinnati, and he got a job in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, so they picked up and moved. They got a great life, good jobs, two wonderful children. Everything was perfect. And then one day, Jim's vice president called him into the office. He walked in and he described how the vice president was really, really, you know, upset. And he said, I've got some really bad news for you. And Jim goes, thinking, oh boy, I lost my job. I'm getting fired. And he said, Jim, your wife and a colleague have been murdered today. And he said they had gone out to lunch and taken a shortcut in a back alley, and they were both stabbed to death. A few days later, the police found and arrested the man that they felt that they had evidence had killed him. And he was a man that was in trouble with the law for many, many years and always seemed to beat the rap. And after 3 years, he didn't beat the rap. He was convicted for life in prison. Now, as you can imagine, there was no forgiveness in Jim's heart whatsoever. He had taken everything from him. He didn't want life in prison. He wanted that man dead. We can all understand where he was coming from at that point. Jim described how his heart became just a vessel of hatred after that. He got married again, which ended in divorce in a short time. He moved from job to job, state to state, just hoping he could escape it, and things would get better, which they never did. And it just continuously got worse, and he was hating the world. One day, someone he had worked with invited him to a spiritual meeting for healing, and he said, well, why not? He was in so much pain. He went to the meeting, and then he started to read the Bible. He started to go to Bible courses. He started to feel better about his life. He was not ready yet to get into forgiveness. He went to a counselor who specialized in forgiveness and decided he wanted to heal his life. He wanted to practice forgiveness. So he stopped drinking, no longer taking drugs. He got a job that was working for him, but he was not ready to forgive that man who had murdered his wife. One day, he said he was watching the movie Dead Man Walk, and he described how that movie had a profound influence on him immediately, especially the execution scene with the family. At that point, he made the decision he was going to go to the prison and see Gino. A few months later, Jim described himself in the prison, and he was sitting on the other side of this glass window looking at Gino. Exchange a little bit of small talk, and then after a short time, Jim said, Gino, I unconditionally forgive you for what you did. He gave the prison guards the address to give to Gino, and he said, you contact me, we'll stay in touch, and I'll be a friend to you. They both put their hands, as he described it, on the glass window, touching hands. After 25 years, Jim was finally at peace. And the man who gave that talk, he started a brand new life. That's just an amazing story that's always stayed with me that I want to share with everybody because I think it's very, very powerful. That's the ultimate in forgiveness.
That's it for today. Thanks for listening. Come back and listen to any of Joe's podcasts as often as you'd like. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information on how to reawaken the voice of your spirit, visit joeloveiw.com.